Andy Keogh has taken to Twitter to vent his frustration at not getting a call to say he wouldn't be in Trapattoni's squad for the upcoming World Cup qualifiers. Remember Andy Reid? Well, it's 2 goals in 2 games and a man of the match for the forgotten man in Irish football. And has a deal been done to bring James McCarthy out of Wigan? This is the Why Big Football Show. I'm Dave O'Grady. We're going to be looking back at all the major Irish football stories, with the FAI Cup quarter-final draw being made. And we'll have the man who brought the broadcasting rights for the Ireland-Sweden game to Australia. So why not get involved with the show as a guest, contributor, or you can advertise and sponsor us. Drop us an email to dave@talkingsport.org, or you can check us out on Twitter. It's @talkingsport.org, and it's facebook.com/talkingsport.org. Now, I'm delighted to be joined by Mark McCadden of the Irish Daily Star and Liam Murray of the Why Big Forum, you boys in green, whybig.ie. Lads, you're very welcome to the Why Big Football Show. Mark, to talk about this Andy Keogh business, it's quite bizarre. This week, Andy Keogh tweeted out his frustrations about not being included in Trapattoni's provisional squad, or the fact that he didn't get a call about being included in the squad. A little bit of a surprise, really, because I think a lot of Irish people and Irish fans really viewed Andy Keogh as probably one of Trapattoni's favourites.
Yeah, that for that reason, I suppose it's a little strange that he hasn't got a call. And I suppose from Andy Keogh's perspective as well, he would have expected the courtesy of a text or a phone call just to let him know that he wasn't been included in either the squad or the provisional squad for this game. And from, you know, from the point of view of someone who has been a regular, who has given nothing but 100% commitment to the squad. I mean, you can argue the merits of whether Andy Keogh should be in the squad or not, but the fact is that, you know, he went to New York a couple of days before his wedding. He played against a man when there was a personal issue in his life last year. So he has never given anything short of 100% commitment. So I suppose his argument is that he would look for the same courtesy when he's been left out of squads. Is Twitter the right way to do that? Probably not, because he opens himself up to criticism in regard to how he's approached the issue. I suppose you can find fault with the two of them in this situation.
Mark, is this a little bit uncharacteristic of Andy Keogh? Because we see him, he does tend to keep himself to himself, and he works hard, and he's there at Millwall, and he seems to be doing quite well. He's scoring there last weekend. Perhaps when a little bit of form is coming his way, he might count himself unlucky not to be in Trap squad.
Yeah, it's uncharacteristic. It's fair to say that, all right. Now, but then again, that might point at just how frustrated he is at the fact that he's not in the squad. Like you say, he has hit a bit of a run of form. He's playing games. He's scoring goals. He's probably expected to be in a 29-man squad. When you consider, there's 29 players there, and he's not one of them. He's dropped a fair way down the pecking order, and he probably would like to understand why. And you can see that from his point of view. But again, in terms of communicating his displeasure, it probably would have been better for him if he was to go about it in a more private route.
Yeah, Liam Murray, to bring you in on this, there's a lot of Irish fans on the Why Big Forum that are not that sympathetic towards Andy Keogh. They see him as a bit part player, you know, perhaps somebody that hasn't done enough to merit a place in the squad, let alone getting into the team. What would be your view on it? Is this a good call by Trapp to drop him?
If he was, a more favoured player, people would be calling for Trapp's head, blah, blah, blah. But because it's Andy Keogh and he's not really that much seen as big as a bear, then it's fans just see it as, it's fine, let's not worry about what he says. And Andy Keogh was being left out of squads before, so was he always giving a phone call? Was he always giving a text message? And then secondly, there's Trapp's next to everyone that he brings into squads and says they're not in. So it seems this happens nearly every second squad. There's someone giving out, or there's some issue of communication like that. So you just take it as that's just it is in the trap.
Yeah,
and the first notice. So I just think it's a trap.
Yeah, okay.
And Twitter, after all, so you just, what I mean.
We seem to have a lot of players these days on straps. Mark, just before I let you go, Andy Keogh did mention on his tweets about perhaps a last-minute call-up. It would be quite bizarre and a little bit awkward if he does get that last-minute call-up. I can imagine a lot of questions will be put to him by the media.
I'm sure, yeah, but then again, he probably wouldn't be put in a position where he has to answer those questions. he's, yeah, look, Trevor Tony has done that before. He's you know, not included players, and then all of a sudden they're thrust into the squad. I mean, you remember, I suppose, when Kevin Foley was left out of the Euros and Paul McShane called up instead. So that's not entirely, it's not entirely, you couldn't entirely rule out the fact that Andy Keogh will be drafted in at the last minute, although maybe this tweet has ruled that out.
Thanks a million there, Mark, for joining us. And Liam, just to move things along for yourself and on the YBIG forum, I know James McCarthy is a major talking point there as well. A lot of people, there's a lot of speculations about a deal being done. And, you know, as Jim White would say on Sky Sports, the transfer window is about to slam shut. Is there a strong chance now that James McCarthy will be gone from Wigan by the end of the transfer window? And how important is it for Ireland that he gets out of Wigan and gets back to the Premier League?
Well, one thing is, I think there's going to be a lot of transfer activity once Gareth Bale's transfer goes through and a few other signings come along. So there's going to be a lot of money. Whether that will have any bearing on James McCarthy being bought by any club, I don't know. From my perspective, I think as long as he's playing, whether that's in the Championship or the Premiership, doesn't get injured, that would be the key. He's still young enough, so I wouldn't be too bothered if we got to the World Cup and he was playing in the Championship team.
If you'd like to sponsor, advertise, or simply get involved with any of the shows on talkingsport.org, drop us an email to dave@talkingsport.org. That's dave@talkingsport.org. Yes, indeed. Thanks there to Liam Murray of the You Boys in Green Forum. That's ybig.ie for all your Irish football news, views and opinions. The best place to be. Now, I'm delighted to be joined by James Carew of Pogue McGull and Neil McDonough. Neil, it's funny, the last time we spoke to you, I think Tony O'Donoghue was on the YBIG football show. So it has been a little bit of a while. But I do understand these days you're involved in the Saturday sports show on Near FM.
Yeah, I'm doing a bit of work with Near FM on a Saturday, the Sports Local Live Show. So that's it's a distraction anyway, keeping me busy on the Saturday afternoon when I normally be watching Sky Sports.
Excellent, excellent stuff. And James, I've seen Pogue McGull has been tweeting to beat the band. You guys have been doing a little bit of what Joe McCarthy has been doing and tweeting about all the Irish soccer players, whether they get on the pitch or don't get on the pitch, if they score a goal, get a yellow card. It's amazing the amount of players you're keeping track of.
Yeah, I guess it's much easier to do it now, Dave, isn't it? There's so many news sources, but I guess it's just keeping people informed as and when goals go in. The more that go in, the better, really.
Yeah, indeed. Now, just before you guys came on the air, we were talking about James McCarthy, and Liam Murray was believing that it's not so bad if he doesn't play in the Premier League this season. Obviously, rumours are running all over the place these days about a deal already being done with Everton, the move from Fellaini. Once Bale goes, everything changes. What's your take on it, James? James McCarthy, should he go to the Premier League? How important is it for Ireland that he is playing Premier League football?
I think it's been proven in the past with Trapper Tony anyway that it actually isn't that important for him to keep getting picked. Now, James McCarthy has a bit of a storied history with Trapper Tony with not getting in the team to start with, but since he's made that breakthrough following the Euros, he's consistently one of Trapp's first names on the team sheet. Now, the manager himself said he would have liked to move to the Premier League, and he said that about other players like David Ford, even Conor Salmon, he was talking about in the pre-season. So I guess it's not vitally important for the Trapattoni, but Trapattoni could be gone in a month, Dave, and everything could change after that. I guess we would be looking for our players to be playing at the highest level, and McCarthy would be what we consider one of our best players. So we'd like to see him progress just for his own benefit, to see actually how good he is.
Yeah, Neil, to put a point like that to you, is there a danger that us as Irish fans, we've been looking at him through green-tinted glasses, as we tend to do with a lot of our players before they've even properly established themselves? Do we think James McCarthy is a lot better than he is, or is it the fact that the Premier League is so saturated these days by players from all over the world that it's so hard to make the break, and a good, honest, hard-working player that is quite technical simply goes unnoticed?
Yeah, no, I agree with your point. I do think there is a danger a lot of the time from reading forums and just chatting to people in pubs and that that we have a tendency to overrate, especially our young players coming through and thinking they're going to be the next best thing. However, I think in the case of James McCarthy, I think he is the real deal, and the reason I think he is the real deal is because when Wigan were facing relegation battles, he was the one who was looking for the ball, he was showing for the ball, he was getting on the ball, he was using that phrase that Johnny Giles often uses, which is the moral courage. And I think if I was a Premiership manager, it's something I'd be looking for, and I think McCarthy is a bit of a class act in that regard. Also, the game in the Faroes when Trapattoni was under a huge amount of pressure, James McCarthy was outstanding that night. Now, it was only the Faroe Islands, so the opposition wasn't the class, but again, he was the one looking for the ball and getting on it. And he's done that a couple of times now for Ireland, where he's the one who gets on the ball and basically has the continuity between the defence and the attack, something that we've been lacking for a long time under the Whelan and Andrews partnership. No matter how hardworking they were never that kind of, they couldn't provide that link, and we often went from back to front very quickly as a result. He's got us playing a better brand of football, and I think if I was Everton, and I'm surprised Everton haven't gone in for him, if I was a team, Aston Villa, Everton, any of these teams that are kind of, even Liverpool possibly, I think McCarthy is well able for that level.
Yeah, and just a final point, Neil, on McCarthy. If he's go to Everton, which the rumour mills are really suggesting is happening at the moment, people are saying a deal is already being done. If this happens, is it good for McCarthy? Is it good for Everton? Will he get his game?
Yeah, I think McCarthy, from an Ireland point of view, another season with Wigan in the Championship wouldn't be a disaster. I think he's a good enough player, but eventually he will go to a Premiership team, I think. However, it will be better for Ireland if he's playing in the Premiership. I think he will get a game there. I think he's a better player than, say, even someone like Darren Gibson, who I know a lot of people would like to have in the squad. He has his troubles with Trapattoni, but I think Seamus Coleman and James McCarthy are two better players, and they're the ones who inevitably will be probably playing Champions League football, and I can't say that about too many of our players over the next 5 years.
Yeah, well, Liam Lawrence could very well be playing Champions League football this season. It's interesting. We'll keep our eyes on that one.
On a regular basis, I suppose.
Yeah. I suppose, yeah. Best of luck anyway to Liam Lawrence out there in PAX Salonica. And we'll keep an eye on the James McCarthy transfer saga as it lingers on. Now, lads, just before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit about Andy Reid. James, I know a lot has been said about his weight and everything like that, and he seems to have lost all the weight and he's playing better than ever. 2 goals in 2 games and man of the match there against Watford. A terrific performance, pulling the strings. A lot of Irish fans are calling for him back in the squad, but we know the bust-up that he had with Trapattoni. Going on current form in the Championship, and Trapp does like to pick Championship players, is there a good chance that he could stake a claim to be included in this Irish squad?
Well, I think you've already kind of hit the nail on the head, Dave, that with Trapattoni, his ship has probably sailed there, because for whatever reason, I don't think he even references them in press conferences anymore. But if he's doing the business week in, week out now, then maybe he's going to knock on the door. But if you remember how long it took to get someone like Wes Hoolahan, who would be described in a similar mode, a kind of creative, diminutive player and making things tick in the midfield. And it took so long for him to get in the squad, and he's not even assured of coming on, starting a game, or even coming on in the game to come up. So I can't see Andy Reid getting back in. But if he keeps knocking in goals, then you never know. But not with this manager.
Okay, Neil, great to see Andy Reid coming back to what we've come to know and love from his play.
Yeah, no, I always liked Reid playing for Ireland. I always thought he was a technical player that I like to see in the squad. Anytime I've seen him for Forest in the last couple of months, I thought he's been pretty good as well. But I agree there with James. I can't really see Trapattoni bringing him back in. Although, you never know. But he brought in Wes Hoolahan, as James says, eventually. But I really can't see it. And like now we have another player like Andy Keogh, who Trapattoni's had, seems to have dropped from the squad. And Keogh now today is having a pop. Well, just kind of over Twitter, having a kind of a pop at Trapattoni as well. So I really can't see Andy Reid coming back into the squad, but I'd like to see him in the squad. I think there is a room for him, but I don't think it's one of those things that we should be going crazy over. But if I was picking in the squad, I'd have Andy Reid in it.
Okay, well, you never know. There might always be a place in all of our hearts for Andy Reid, especially if he has his guitar. He's quite a good singer, it's fair to say. James Carew and Neil McDonough, thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks very much, Dave.
If you'd like to sponsor, advertise, or simply get involved with any of the shows on talkingsport.org, drop us an email to dave@talkingsport.org. That's dave@talkingsport.org. Now, a lot of Irish fans living in Australia these days will be delighted to hear that Ireland's World Cup qualifier against Sweden will now be broadcast on Channel 33. Now, Channel 33 was set up by David Feeney after he grew so frustrated by constantly missing crucial qualifiers. And what no doubt was a very long conversation with his wife, he purchased the rights to the upcoming qualifier between Ireland and Sweden on the 7th of September. David, I'm delighted to have you on the Why Big Football Show. You always hear of a lot of fans going to lengths to watch these matches, but it's rare that we actually have an Irish fan buying broadcasting rights. How did this all come about?
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show, Dave. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was a funny one. I've been over here 15 years, and you know, you'd see a game every now and again, and there's a couple of channels here. You know, if Ireland were playing England or Germany or someone like that, it'd be on. But the last game, the Austria game, I was listening to it on the radio, on internet radio. And I was thinking to myself, Jesus, 2013, how am I not watching this live? So anyway, Alaba got his goal in the last minute. I was, you know, kicked the cat, whatever. And I said, right, that's it. You know, I was annoyed at the goal going in.
Yeah.
I said, I'm gonna try and buy the rights. I'm going to find out how you do this. So I fished around on LinkedIn. I found a fella who was a couple of years below me in school who works at RTE. And he was great. He pointed me in the right direction of the company that owns the rights. They're over in Germany. And I just started having a chat to them from there.
It's quite remarkable though, David, because you never hear of even people going down this way. It's always a big company with a big backing that want to sell a load of advertising and show these matches. I remember we had a recent incident where the French Football Association, I think, were kind of dangling the rights to the second leg of the playoff between France and Ireland, and RTÉ and Sky Sports didn't quite know if they were going to get it or not. But this is you coming in on your own and actually getting rights to such a big game.
Yeah, I know. It's funny that there's a couple of channels over here that might have shown them, and I sort of won't give them the publicity by saying their name, but they usually wait till the last minute and then buy the rights at the death. But for this one, I'd looked up what they were going to show, and one of them was going to show Serbia-Croatia, followed by England-Moldova on delay, and the other wasn't going to show anything. So I approached the guys who had the rights, and I basically said that. I said, look, no one else is going to show this. You know, Satanta are going to show Serbia-Croatia. And ESPN aren't going to do anything. So, you know, I made them an offer that I thought was relatively low, but I had no idea how much rights would cost. And then they came back and said, yeah, okay. I was like, all right, I have the rights now. You know, what am I going to do with them?
And one of the things, David, I can only imagine when making the decision, obviously you had a conversation with your wife and that. How did she react? Because I'm thinking of wives and girlfriends of people. I don't think they'd be very supportive of if I was to turn around to my girlfriend and say, I'm looking to buy the rights to an Ireland match. I think there'd be a few things said before I certainly didn't go ahead with the plan.
Yeah, well, thankfully she's Irish as well, so we're both over here together. So, yeah, she's from Dublin as well. So when I explained it to her first, she said, sorry, is this sports betting? Are we doing sports betting here? Or what was this? So she kind of isn't a huge football fan, so that kind of helped a little bit. But I said, no, look, you know, I've got a bit of money saved up. It's pretty expensive, but it's not crazily expensive. And, you know, we'd have a bit of a go and we'll give it a try. She said, all right, you can do it once, she goes, but whatever money you make, she goes, I'm having it. So that was the deal, basically.
That was the compromise.
We make a profit, she gets the money to spend on whatever it is she likes. But yeah, if we don't, then I have to work harder to make it back up.
And I suppose it brings along a load of extra jobs, David, in terms of trying to sell advertising and trying to promote it. Because anytime we see a match, particularly when in your case where it's for the first time, you're not used to going down those routes. So I'd imagine a load of new challenges there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have a real job as well. So, you know, obviously it's sort of consumed my entire life doing this, trying to find some advertisers. And the Irish Echo, which is the local Irish community newspaper here in Australia, has come on board. So they've been really good. They're a presenting partner. So at halftime of the game, I'm able to show a few ads for the Irish Echo, and they're helping me to promote it. So they've been fantastic. And I'm negotiating with an alcohol company to try and get them on board. You know, the game is nearly on, so time is pressing on. But if I can get those guys on board as well, that would be great. But look, really, the hardest thing was finding the venues. So the games are on. The games are on at 5 o'clock in the morning, 4:45 in the morning. So finding venues that are gonna show the game was probably the hardest thing to do. And we've got a few now. So we've got the casino in Sydney, which is fantastic. We've the casino in Brisbane as well. The casino in Darwin, who've just come on board recently. So huge Irish population in Darwin. We've the casino in Adelaide as well. We've the famous Scruffy Murphy's pub in Sydney, which is a very, very famous Irish bar, 24-hour Irish bar in Sydney. They're on board as well, and the Celtic Club, which is an Irish club in Melbourne, are gonna take the game as well. So we've got games spread across the country. Couldn't get Perth, unfortunately. The games are on at 2:45 in the morning, Perth, Friday night until Saturday morning, and they've got a lot of restrictive laws around licensing and opening venues then. So, having the same problem showing GAA over in Perth, I believe a week or two ago, there was a game with 15 minutes to go, and they shut the whole place down and kicked everybody out.
Disaster.
I think it was one of the hurling quarterfinals or semifinals. Limerick were playing, and there was ructions apparently. But yeah, they just said, "Sorry, we've got to close." Turned off the telly. Boom, 15 minutes to go. So Perth is tricky, but. Managed to get it into most of the other major cities.
Hugely beneficial though, David, that you have so many Irish people in Australia nowadays. Yeah. And everybody seems to be moving out, and we have a lot of listeners and in fact contributors to the Why Big Football show, Irish fans over in Australia, that they do everything in that they possibly can to keep in touch with the matches, but they've always found it very difficult. This is opening a whole new window for them.
Yeah, look, that was one of the things I thought about when I said, how am I going to distribute this to people? And I thought about streaming it, and there was a couple of options to stream it. But what I thought is, look, we're all over here, we're all missing home, sitting in your front room with the laptop out, at 4:45 in the morning watching the game. Doesn't really give you the experience of being at home, and maybe makes you miss home a bit more probably. You're like, geez, I wish you could be watching this with my mates. But I decided to put it on in venues that gives people the opportunity to go out, to sort of transport themselves back home temporarily without, giving Emirates or Etihad any money, and without going through the, 27, 30-hour round trip. You can feel like you're at home for 2 hours. You can be, you can be on Twitter, you can be texting your mates that you're watching the game in the pub just like they are. So that was the thing that I thought, and I hoped would appeal to Irish people the most. You're out in the pub, okay, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, maybe you won't be having too many pints, but you can at least feel like, you're transported home and, singing the songs and watching the game, and that'd be a win to cheer everybody up.
And that's the thing I was going to ask you, of course. A huge match for Ireland. We haven't beaten this. Yeah. We haven't beaten a team ranked higher than us in a competitive fixture since we beat the Dutch in 2001. Could be potentially playing a part in something very special should the result go Ireland's way.
Yeah, well, look, actually, I watched the game, the Dutch game over here in a place called King's Cross, which is one of the seedier parts of Sydney. Yeah, same story. There was about 500 Irish people all in a room. Someone had bought the rights, gotten in some satellite dishes and showed the game. And it's one of the greatest sporting memories of my life. The send-off and the Jason McAteer goal. It was an absolutely unbelievable experience that, anyone who watched there always remembers, and you meet someone, you can talk about it. So we're hoping to create something similar. We basically have to win. As we have to hope Germany beats Austria, and we've got to get a draw with Austria away. There's all sorts of ramifications, but this is the one we really have to win. So I'm hoping that that attracts people along. It's a crucial game and an absolute must win. But especially after the draw away, they're not as good as we thought they were, I think. So they're there for the taking.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen Irish history with the Rose of Tralee and the All-Ireland final getting broadcast around the world. We always hear on those special occasions, and St. Patrick's Day parade as well, how we hear people in Australia that have been watching it, America, around the world. I suppose this is bringing Irish soccer to that table as well. Hopefully there'll be more people that might share an idea and a similar ideas to you that might actually go ahead now and develop something like this.
I hope so. Yeah, look, the funny thing about say GAA, for example, over here is that because if the game is on at a certain time of the night and it's Limerick against Dublin or Cork against Kilkenny, it's a bit more parochial, so it's harder for people to get a crowd because it's kind of only Cork people or Kilkenny people, etc., who want to watch it. And kind of similar with the rugby as well. But I think the the football team is the one that pretty much everybody supports, and everybody has memories of, you know, maybe not great memories of the Euros recently, but if you're as old as me, you know, great memories of, you know, Euro 88 and things like that. And it's the team that everybody can get behind, so to speak. So I'm hoping that, yeah, exactly for that reason, you know, people get behind it, you know, they want to see the team win and you know, sort of recreate the ole ole memories, of the past.
And no doubt your whole aim is, win or lose, at least the fans will get to see it.
Exactly, and this is a start. So, you know, there's some other games coming up as well. You know, I'm still in discussion around the Kazakhstan game to try and get that. Since I've done this, Setanta have actually picked up some of the other Ireland games that they didn't have. So, look, one of the aims was, you know, get Ireland games on telly. So, you know, I sort of, you know, kicked it back off again with the Sweden game, and now Setanta have picked up the Germany game and the Austria game. But that's fine. You know, my reason to do it was to watch the game so that I personally could see the games. So it's been an expensive exercise to just make sure I can watch Ireland games on TV. But, you know, as I said to someone the other day, I'm not trying to, you know, pay off my mortgage or buy a Ferrari or anything else. This is, you know, I'll probably lose money on it, but if I break even, I'll be delighted. I'll get to see the game, and people will get to see the game as well, which was the aim. You know, I'm not trying to start some, you know, TV empire here. It's just get the game on, you know, give people a chance to see it, and you know, that's it. That's the main aim, and try not to lose too much money so my wife doesn't kill me.
It sounds absolutely fantastic, David. And I think a lot of Irish fans will be taking their hats off to you. Just before we go, what's the best way for fans in Australia and indeed Ireland that want to find out more about the venture that you have going? How can they find out more information?
So Twitter probably, it's @channel33_AUS. We're on Facebook as well. Just look up Channel 33 Australia on Facebook, or if you type in Channel 33, we have a little blue logo. Initially, because I was just selling the games into venues, and I was just, you know, working with the venues, I didn't actually have a website, but there's going to be a website up in the next couple of days, and it's going to be www.channel33.com.au. So we're on Twitter and Facebook mostly, and the website is going to be up in the next couple of days. So, same if people want to email, it's david@channel33.com.au. Happy to take emails from people, and we're just looking for, you know, to get a bit of exposure, for people to tell their mates, tell their friends, you know, get a crew together. It's early in the morning on a Saturday morning, so either stay out all the way through, or, you know, go to bed early.
I don't think that'll be a problem for the Irish, David, in fairness.
I don't think so either. I've done it myself. You have the debate, you know, being here 15 years, you have the debate all the time. We stay up all the way through and sort of watch it with one eye closed, or we go to bed early and get back up. But the older I get, the more likely I am to go to bed early, unfortunately. But look, just get out there, you know, enjoy the game, you know, feel like you're at home is the idea. Transport yourself back home for a couple of hours and, you know, watch the game, and, you know, be texting your mates and your family to say, I'm watching it, you know, this is great, I feel like I'm at home.
Well, David, I have no doubt it's going to be a huge success for you. It's going to be a terrific Irish feeling across Australia now, and particularly in the venues where you've set it up. And what better way than an Irish win to cap it all off and make it very memorable for those people?
That's right, and we're brilliant. But the win is crucial, and then we've got to press on from there, obviously, and you know, get ourselves into the playoffs and on a plane to Rio.
Yes, indeed, some fantastic stuff there by David Feeney of Channel 33 broadcasting the Ireland-Sweden match. Now, just to mention before we go, the FAI Cup quarter-finals draw has been made, with Shelburne taking on Dundalk, a Dublin derby as St Patrick's Athletic hosts Shamrock Rovers, Sligo Rovers will take on the winners of Derry and Bluebell United, Finn Harps will take on Drogheda United. So the ties are expected to be played on the week ending the 15th of September. Should be pretty good indeed. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time here on the Why Big Football Show. My thanks to Irish Daily Star columnist Mark McCadden, Pogue McGold's James Carew, Liam Murray of whybig.ie, Neil McDonough of Near FM, and of course David Feeney of Channel 33. Until next time, take care.